I'm delighted now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Hershey Felder. He's creator of the one-man show Maestro, The Art of Leonard Bernstein, which is at the Lenzic Performing Arts Center this Friday, May 31st through Sunday, June 2nd. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure. I think I did this a number of years ago when I came to the Lenzic for Gershwin.
Okay.
I remember sitting in a cafe. I don't know if you did it, but I think I sat with somebody over some really, really, really effervescent cinnamon buns.
Yes, this was, in fact, the place.
That was the place. Okay, so I know. Yeah, wonderful.
Oh, good. Well, welcome back. So let's talk about this kind, the type of performance you do. I mean, you've done Gershwin and Chopin and Beethoven. Did you always know that you wanted to do Leonard Bernstein?
Actually, not at all. It was one of the characters that a lot of people brought to me, and different theater directors and public kept on saying, well, you've done all these characters. You'd be such a perfect fit for Bernstein. And you look a little bit like him, which I really don't. And you act like him, which I don't at all. And you like the things that he liked, which, you know, as far as music, absolutely. Everything else, not so much. But I couldn't quite figure out how I could make that character come to life. And it took a number of, at least 10 years until I really figured it out, because I was busy doing the other things. And then people asked me to do it, you know, different theater directors. And I said, well, I'll give it a shot, sort of as a joke. And turns out it became the one that the public and the critics liked the best. So, you know, why not? You never know.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I was trying to imagine, the process of immersion and selection that you had to go through in creating this performance. I mean, Bernstein's life and accomplishments were so vast and varied.
Well, you know, the way these things work is to find a through line and a point at the beginning. And sometimes a point doesn't quite reveal itself at the beginning, but you got to at least guide yourself toward finding some story to tell. And that was the biggest question with this, is what story could I tell, and was there a story to tell, and would it mean anything? And looking at his life, I found a number of things that were really very interesting and intriguing. A lot of contradictions in terms, you know, you had somebody who wanted to be on Broadway. It was a great conductor and serious music. You had somebody who was a great conductor but wanted to be a composer. You had a man who was for the public, you know, the perfect father and the wonderful family man, but was really interested in a homosexual lifestyle. Or actually lived one to some degree. And so you had all kinds of contradictions in this guy, and it turns out that's what the public really likes. And it makes for a very good story. And, you know, people ask me, well, the others are all dead, so of course they're easy to portray. And, you know, here you have a guy who's only died 20 years ago, or 23 years ago. So how could you very possibly do him? It's too soon. People remember him. How could you pull it off? And it turns out it's made it easier because people have points of reference that are contemporary. And that always makes a lot of the explaining so much easier. If I do one of the older characters, I have to start at the very beginning with my points of reference and set up my context, which takes a whole lot longer. This I can dive right into. I'm talking about World War II, or I'm talking about Carnegie Hall in New York, or whatever it is, or whatever situation I'm talking about. He's right there with them. It makes it far more immediate, and I think the public likes that kind of thing. It's fun. You know, they have a good time.
Now, when you're on stage, are you speaking as Leonard Bernstein looking back over his life, or is it a certain point in his life?
Well, it is a certain point, but it isn't just looking back. It's a certain point, you know, just before it's sort of over for him, and he has a number of very big questions with the whole thing. So I think that is, you know, it's not just like a sort of a memory play. Oh, and this happened and that happened. Something is happening to him, and it causes a big problem for him. And that's what sort of leads us in the direction that we're going with this piece. And again, it makes it immediate because we're dealing with a problem that's quite immediate.
I think people like Leonard Bernstein, at least for me, are inspirations on many levels. And one of them is the boldness with which he asked questions about his life and was able to have doubts and express them and to be curious and explore and not kind of have a facade that he showed to the public where you didn't see his real self. I wondered if he was an inspiration to you as just as a human being, as well as a composer and performer and so on.
Well, no. I mean, you know, I find him complicated. You know, he's certainly not an inspiration as a human being, but what is inspirational is the commitment he had to arts and to music and what he really believed and how one should live as an artist in terms of one's study and knowledge. And, you know, it's a complete living for art. And I'm fascinated with that. In terms of his personal life, it's not that he lived with a facade. He lived in front of the public. I mean, he lived out his entire life in front of the public since he was very young and got so much attention, you know, having had that miraculous event happen when he was 25 and he suddenly conducted the New York Philharmonic. I mean, it's an astonishing thing that happened, you know. So becoming that famous, I think he had no choice but to live his life in front of the public, but also that means that it wasn't always lived out in such a classy way, because not only did we get the clean laundry, but we got the dirty laundry too, which again makes it fascinating for people watching and listening. But by the same token, it's, you know, he was complicated that way. It was very public, everything that he did.
Now, did you know him? Did you ever see him in real life?
Well, know him, as you know, is very relative. I, you know, knew of him. I was 20 when he died. I had met him at the end of his life. I knew all the people around him because I was a part of that circle, and later came in contact with people who were very close with him and knew him very well. If you're a musician in the, you know, 21st century and the late 20th century, you could not know somehow Leonard Bernstein, and you could not be influenced by him. You could not be influenced by him, is what I'm saying. And he, of course, you know, all of us American musicians owe what we have to him. I mean, he was the one who sort of, he was the first American of that caliber to rise to such international fame. And the American music scene owes pretty much all of itself to Leonard Bernstein and his sense of creating that here in America, that European tradition here in America in the wholly American way. And without him, I don't think the kind of career that I have now would even exist or even have a hope of existing. So whether I knew him or not is less relevant to the fact that all of us, we all owe him a great, you know, debt of gratitude for doing what he did.
We're talking to Hershey Felder about the one-man show Maestro, The Art of Leonard Bernstein. How long have you been doing this performance?
This particular one started in summer of 2010, and I think it's probably had 400 or 500 performances since, something like that. A lot.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
A lot of performances. You know, I mean, Gershwin has had over 3,000, so, you know. I mean, I have ways to go, but, yeah, this one started just a couple years back, so it's now on its journey, which is kind of nice to see it happening.
Has the show changed or developed in some ways since you started doing it?
Well, I think these things are always, you know, they shouldn't ever be stagnant, because the moment they're stagnant, you know, it becomes dead theater as opposed to live theater. And it's not that they change as much as that I just know him better. And, you know, of course, some of the writing over time does change, some of it significantly, a lot of it not. But this was one of them, of all the pieces that I worked on, you know, the Chopin, Beethoven, whatever, this is the one that changed the least in terms of its text from its first performances to now. How it changed was in my comfort and understanding of who the character is. But somehow the story always worked very well from the very beginning.
You have, I don't know if you'd think so, I mean, you were saying at the beginning that you didn't, but it seems like you have quite a lot in common with Leonard Bernstein in the sense that you were both born in North America to Eastern European Jewish parents. You're both composers and pianists and performers. Do you take that common, well, I mean, do you see that? Do you take that into your performance?
Well, no, because, I mean, I only do what I do because I do it. I don't view it as a comparison. I mean, you know, I don't have enough hubris to sort of think that, well, now that I do all the same things that Leonard Bernstein does, well, I'm like Leonard Bernstein. Of course I'm not. And, you know, I mean, he really was a genius. He was a spectacular artist. And I just do what I do. And it happens to be all the same, but he wasn't an actor. He didn't do that, you know, and he wasn't that kind of writer in theatrical terms that I've been doing, and so what I do is quite a bit different. Yet, at the same time, because I do what I do, I recognize things about his character that make it easier or perhaps more affecting when I'm doing that character on the stage, because I understand some of the things he did. I don't have to learn about them or put them on and sort of paste it on face. I understand it.
Now, with one-man shows, sometimes the audience can forget that you have a director, that it's actually a collaboration, although we don't see the other person. What is the nature of the collaboration with your director?
Usually editing. It's a lot of, you know, because you have a man and a piano and several props on stage, you can't go very far, you know. It's stage right, stage left, downstage center, upstage, and then sit at the piano when all else fails. So, I mean, there's very little you can do. So that way, that's the way that works, you know. It's a little bit of traffic cop, but after that, it's really the editing that's the important part, you know. One can be as florid creatively as possible, and, you know, then the editor, the great director, has to come in and say, that's good, that's not, that's good, put this here, put that there. Let me show you how to clean this up. Let me make it clear. That's what a director does, and my director does for this particular piece anyway, or these set of pieces anyway. It's more about the editing of the material, the action, and the stagecraft so that it really blends into a piece all its own, you know? And I think that's the most important thing is clarity. And I've had good fortune to have a director with great sense of clarity. And the wonderful thing about Joel Zwick is that he's the world's greatest audience. And, you know, he can sit and watch a piece of theater 1,000 times and he still laughs if it's the first time. But because he's such a good audience and so aware of how good he is, what winds up happening is he doesn't lead audiences astray with big directorial flourishes. He just wants to tell a really good story and wants the public to enjoy.
Hershey Felder is the creator of the one-man show Maestro, The Art of Leonard Bernstein, which is at the Lenzik Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of this week. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure speaking with you.